devil's advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. Going to them shortly at 844-967-2789. Curtie, just a couple of paragraphs from the editorial boards of the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal. Starting with, let's go, the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Trump took an oath to defend the Constitution, and he had a duty as commander-in-chief to protect the Capitol from a mob attacking it in his name. He refused. He didn't call the military to send help. He didn't call Pence to check on the safety of his loyal VP. Instead, he fed the mob's anger and let the riot play out. Character is revealed in a crisis, and Mr. Trump passed his January 6th trial. Mr. Trump utterly failed his. Ouch. And the conclusion, a few paragraphs here from the New York Post. Let's see here. Trump thought the violence of his loyal followers would make Pence crack or delay the vote altogether. To his eternal shame, as appalled aides implored him to publicly call on his followers to go home, he instead further fanned the flames by tweeting, "Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution." The Post concludes his only focus was to find any means, damn the consequences, to block the peaceful transfer of power. There is no other explanation, just as there is no defense for his refusal to stop the violence. It is up to the Justice Department to decide if this is a crime. But as a matter of principle, as a matter of character, Trump has proven himself unworthy to be this country's chief executive again.
Is that the Wall Street Journal or was that the
That was New the York Post.
Post?
The that second was the Post. Was the Post. Second okay. was the Post, correct. Yes.
Thank you for that point of clarity. You know, an issue I don't think we touched on, or if we did, it was just, you know, not properly, Dom. You know, we mentioned the gubernatorial debate here in the state of Wisconsin. The GOP had their big debate.
Yeah.
And nobody mentioned that Donald Trump had endorsed Tim Michaels. Nor did they mention, at least according to local reporting in the Journal Sentinel, why it was that Trump had an affinity for Michaels. And apparently it wasn't just the fact that the man was a businessman. He went down, you know, bent his knee at Mar-a-Lago to Trump. And as it's being reported, Trump started ranting about a tweet that Becky Clayfish sent out with one of her underage daughters hanging out apparently as Plutonic friends, although I don't know, but Plutonic friends.
Like going to prom.
Going to prom with friends, one of whom included Hagedorn's son, Brian Hagedorn, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice.
Who voted, was a single vote against what Trump wanted to do here in the state of Wisconsin.
You noted that, because Donald Trump certainly noted that. And the fact that Becky Clayfish's daughter went to prom with Hagedorn's son, whether or not they were Plutonic or whatever.
Who cares? How is it relevant in any way?
Worse than disloyalty, Dom. So my understanding, as it has been reported, Trump opted to endorse Tim Michaels. Because his daughter didn't go to prom with the Hagedorn kid.
And you know, and that Hagedorn, he's not too fond of that guy because that guy didn't vote with the other Republicans on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Conservatives, call them what you want.
Three of them were willing to overturn the results of the election.
Yes, they were.
Hagedorn showed a little independence. But the blissfully unaware Tim Michaels didn't even know about the prior tweet. and apparently was, you know, bemused by the telling and the ranting right up to the point where he was endorsed because, you know, apparently his daughters don't date the Hagedorns. You know, spend more time at the country club in Connecticut, if you know what I'm saying.
Is that where the kids go to school?
I'm not clear if he's got daughters, but you get the point. He mostly spends his time in Connecticut. Dom, a little article over at the Bulwark, former Republican National Committee spokesperson Tim Miller scorched the GOP for doing nothing to shed themselves of former President Donald Trump. And instead, they're just humoring him with hopes he'll go away. Well, Tom, he's like a fungus. He ain't going away. As Miller notes, immediately after Trump lost the 2020 presidential election and ramped up his efforts to prove the election was stolen from him, an anonymous senior Republican official told the Post, "What is the downside of humoring him for this little bit of time?"
Right.
No one seriously thinks the results will change, before adding, he went golfing this weekend. It's not like he's plotting how to prevent Joe Biden from taking power on January 20th.
You think?
He's tweeting about filing some lawsuits. Those lawsuits will fail, and then he'll tweet some more about how the election was stolen, and then he'll leave. As Miller Riley noted, that prediction didn't age well. And almost 2 months later, Trump's election fraud claims culminated in a frickin' riot at the Capitol following a Stop the Steal rally at the National Mall. According to the columnist, Republicans are still dithering when it comes to shoving Trump out into the wilderness, in part because they need his fundraising prowess and the ability to get out the vote in some races. Now, Trump's coming to Milwaukee on August 20th, right, Dom?
Yes, he is.
You were pointing out there, what, signs at the airport?
Yeah, Milwaukee loves Donald Trump. I have to disagree with that sign, but that's what it says.
A little bit more from this reporting, Dom. According to Miller, in present-day Republican politics, that anonymous, what's the downside of humoring him, moron, actually won the day. And not just that day, but today. Because despite how brutally and blatantly their strategy in managing Trump's psychopathy failed, senior Republican officials are still employing it. You see, back in November 2020, at least the, you know, SROs, as he's calling them, thought that there was an expiration date on their cowardice. They figured out come January 20th, 2021, Trump would be gone and they would no longer have to humor him. Today, the strategy has been modified only in the removal of the expected end date. He wrote before noting a comment made by the former Republican lawmaker and Mark Leibovich's new book, "Thank you for your servitude." As Leibovich wrote, a former Republican congressman told me recently that the party's only real plan for dealing with Trump in 2024 involved a darkly divine intervention. We're just waiting for him to die. They're waiting. That's their plan, Dom.
It's the same as their healthcare plan.
So they're just hoping that Big Macs will cause the big one and take them down.
It's the same plan. Waiting for you to die. It's their healthcare plan. It's finally out. It's finally been expressed to us. And apparently that's their strategy for dealing with their fascist leader. Wait for him to die.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, the Big Monday edition, the Happier Happy Hour. It rolls on. That's a pleasant thought. Waiting for Trump to die.
If we don't battle to the death, they will kill us both.